Thank you, Director Walker, and we do sincerely appreciate your providing this fine facility and the rest of the program in which we can have as a backdrop for the issuance of this new stamp. And Professor Porter, I certainly want to express our appreciation, too, of the well-researched description that you have given of the background of the painter and the artwork itself. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you as we dedicate the 1968 Christmas stamp. In reproducing a detail of this masterful 15th century painting by Jan van Eyck, we are joining with many other nations in a postal tribute to the holiday season. Over the years, about 50 nations have issued Christmas stamps to echo the message of peace on earth and goodwill to men. We issued our first Christmas stamp in 1962 in response to an intense demand, a demand that I must confess we totally underestimated. We learned, to our dismay, that we could not print the 1962 stamps fast enough to satisfy our patrons. Quite a few post offices were sold out of the Christmas stamps within hours after they first went on sale, and people often drove to nearby towns in the hope of finding a new supply. This has not happened again. This time, we are ready for you. We have printed 1,500,000,000 Christmas stamps. It's difficult for me and perhaps for you to comprehend such an astronomical figure. We can bring this gigantic figure of 1,500,000,000 into better focus if I mention that these stamps have been on the printing press since June 19 and will continue to be printed into the early part of December. Often the printing press operated day and night, 7 days a week, grinding out stamps at the rate of 1.7 million an hour. The total weight of our Christmas stamp is an equally astonishing statistic. They weigh about 500,000 pounds. According to the old English carol, Christmas is the season to be jolly. It is also the season for the men and women who work in post offices throughout our land to roll up their sleeves and tackle the almost superhuman task of delivering the Christmas mail. I urge you, please, to mail your gifts and your Christmas cards early. This request wouldn't have been necessary back in 1875 when the first commercially produced Christmas card was placed in the U.S. mail. It was engraved by Louis Prang of Roxbury, Massachusetts, and I doubt if Mr. Prang realized what he was really starting. Certainly, he could not envision that during the upcoming holiday season, hundreds and hundreds of millions of greeting cards will be mailed, and that these will swell the total mail for December of 1968 to an estimated 10 billion pieces. Now, a fraction of this mail, but a very vital fraction, will be sent to some very important persons. These VIPs are the brave men who defend the ramparts of liberty far beyond our shores, in Vietnam, in Korea. Just last week, I returned from a 17-day trip that took me to Vietnam, and I thought you might like for me to share some of my experiences and observations with you. I went to Southeast Asia at the request of Postmaster General Watson, and my mission was to expedite the flow of mail into the theater of operations. As I'm certain you are aware, President Johnson and Vice President Humphrey have always had a deep personal interest in being certain that mail for our troops receives top priority, particularly during the Christmas season. The very best postal service possible represents the least the Post Office Department can do for our troops fighting in Vietnam. Last year, during the holiday season, we processed nearly 54 million pounds of mail to our armed forces in Asia. Almost all of this was flown across the Pacific in military history's biggest airlift of mail, and we got it there on time. Pretty good performance for an organization that's supposed to be down on the rocks, I think, according to what I read in the papers. This year, we expect Christmas mail and gifts across the Pacific to swell to a peak of 77 million pounds, and we intend to get this delivered on time. One of the reasons for this is that for the first time, well, we have PAL mail, and that's packages up to 30 pounds that if you pay the regular surface rate to the port of embarkation, then put one of the special dollar stamps on it, will get airlift. We can quote statistics on the tonnage of mail delivered to Vietnam, but no one can measure the emotional impact that this mail has on the men who receive it. It is vital to morale. During my visit in Vietnam, I talked with privates and with generals, and with just about every rank and grade in between. Their morale is superb. There's no lack of confidence among the men in the field as to this country's ability to attain its objectives. Now, in a few words, if I may, on the mechanics of mail delivery. We deliver the mail to Army post offices and Fleet post offices in San Francisco and Seattle, where it becomes the responsibility of the Military Airlift Command, working together, and we do work together, with the finest relationship. We can usually deliver mail from any point in the United States to Saigon in 2 or 3 days. Here, problems in delivery of mail sometimes arise, problems beyond our control, but not beyond our solution. Our troops are very mobile. Mail sent to them at one location may arrive after they've departed. Individual soldiers on occasion are transferred, and bottlenecks can occur in the forwarding of their mail. Locating soldiers who've been transferred or those whose outfits have been moved will soon benefit from a new automatic mail locator system. On February 1, the Army plans to place in operation the Central Postal And from these conferences, there emerged, I believe, a new awareness of this gigantic mail operation and of our mutual desire for speedy delivery. We are issuing this handsome Christmas postage stamp in ample time for you to place it on greeting cards and gifts destined for Vietnam. I had a somewhat unusual and very amusing experience the first day I was in Saigon. In my party were the postmasters of Seattle and San Francisco. The Seattle postmaster was determined to find someone in uniform from his hometown. And on every possible occasion, he would ask a soldier where he was from. The first time he put the question, the answer was, "Lansing, Michigan, sir." Of course, Lansing is my hometown. After many inquiries, along toward the end of our stay in Vietnam, the Seattle postmaster was able to locate someone, at least from the state of Washington. When he questioned a little further, though, he found out there was a closer relationship. It happened to be the boyfriend of his niece. I hope that this stamp will remind everyone who sees it, here and abroad, of the spirit of Christmas, with its tidings of cheer and goodwill toward men. Thank you.